At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is going on, Bills Mafia? How about that? Your Buffalo Bills are 4-0. Welcome into the Overreaction Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, the voice of the Overreaction Podcast, Joe Miller, and it is so good to have you as always. I just want to say welcome, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, driving to work, or at the gym with your AirPods in. It is always extra special just to have you with me. So thank you so much for being here. It's just a pleasure. And it's always even more of a pleasure after the Buffalo Bills win a football game. What do you think? How are we feeling? How are we feeling post-game, folks? How are we feeling post-game? I can tell you this. How's that for spectacular? I think that's going to be my new tagline for the 2020 NFL season for the Buffalo Bills. How's that for spectacular? Granted, it may not have been full of highlights, and it may not have been like, you know, chucking the ball all over the yard and long runs from Devin Singletary and just crazy stuff and pick sixes and all, you know, goal line stands, but it was still spectacular. The Buffalo Bills went into Las Vegas, a game against a team that is on the come up. Let's be honest, this team is on the rise. They're still making mistakes. Dare I say the Vegas Raiders are making mistakes that the Bills, the 2019 Bills, were making. Think about that for a second. But they went into Las Vegas and they handled their business. They didn't go in there with flash. They didn't go in there and pound them into the turf. The reality is the game was close, but it was never in doubt. Yes, they gave us a reason to be nervous. This is what this team does. Where did the defense from 2019 go? We'll talk about it. But this game was close at one point, but it was legit never in doubt. A quarter of the football season is over. We know that NFL teams and coaches and players always like to break the season down into quarters. So we have finished this quarter 4-0. It is an incredible head start. We are in charge, first place of the AFC East. The Patriots have a big game against the Chiefs. I think all of us are picking the Patriots in that football game, which means the Bills will have a two-game lead on the Patriots if that game goes as we all believe that it will. But the Bills are 4-0. First quarter of the season is over. The Bills are 4-0. They've beaten the Jets. They've beaten the Dolphins. They've beaten the Rams, and they've beaten the Raiders. And here's the thing. We talk about it every year. Good teams beat teams they should beat, right? We've talked about it a lot. Good teams beat teams or great teams beat teams that they should beat. We talked about it a lot last year. The Bills had a relatively soft schedule, and the Bills came out 10-6, but they still dropped some games against some opponents that they should have beaten. Good teams, great teams, I should say, also beat good teams. The Dolphins are on the fence, right? I doubt you're going, or there's going to be a person that's going to mistake the Dolphins, a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led Miami Dolphins football team, as being a good football team, but they're not horrible, right? Let's be honest, they gave the Seahawks a run for their money on Sunday. They gave the Seahawks a run for their money on Sunday. Jay Spence, Buffalo Fanatics' own Jay Spence, your boy's co-host on the Hump Day Hotline, is picking the Buffalo Bills and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. They gave the Seahawks a run for their money on Sunday. The Rams are a good football team. The Buffalo Bills beat them. They almost let it get away, but they didn't. They manned up and they beat them, and they beat a good Raiders team today. That is a good football team. Derek Carr, I don't know what it is that we are breathing, reading, watching, ignoring, and not paying attention to. I said it on my preview show. I've been very vocal about it. I am a Derek Carr football fan. Derek Carr is not trash. Yes, Derek Carr has 6 fumbles in 4 games this season so far. That is not great. That is not great. But Derek Carr is not trash. Derek Carr is an efficient, quality quarterback, and I would venture to guess, or I would dare to say, that he's better than Jared Goff. Better. Better than Jared Goff. He's better than a lot of quarterbacks in this league. I like Derek Carr. Derek Carr had himself a game. He didn't play horrible, but he didn't play great either, but he had himself a game. There's a lot of good stats. We'll get into stats here in a second. But the Bills are 4-0, one quarter of the way through the season. Man, that almost hurts your heart, right? Like, just knowing that the Bills are a quarter of the way through the season. 25% of this season is over. Pardon me while I cry for a moment. If any of you are like me, I live for football season. Like, there was a significant portion of my younger days, when I was probably in my late 20s and my early 30s, that I used to wish the summer away. So we would come out of spring and we would have like OTAs and mini camps and things like that. There'd be like organized team activities, which is what OTA stands for, if you didn't know that. There'd be all kinds of like activity in May. You know, you get the draft, and then April and May, you know, rookie mini camps, OTA, you know, all the way through June, and then July would come. And it was nothing. And I remember being at work in my young buck days and wishing the summer away. Because I just wanted it to get to training camp. More than anything in the world, I just wanted it to be August so that we could get to September. And that's when the Bills were bad. And my guess is a lot of you were the same way. Now, in my older years, I have learned to not wish the summer away because I've only got so many summers left. But it's a little disheartening. I don't like the fact that the season is a quarter over. But what a quarter of the season it has been. Great teams beat good teams. Great teams beat the teams that they should beat. Bills Mafia, I'm here to tell you that you are the fan of a football team that, though they are not doing it necessarily the way that we thought that they were going to, by any stretch of the means, we came into this season believing that we were going to have a top 2 defense. Josh Allen might take another small step. I'm on record many times as saying we wouldn't know who he was until week 8. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we know who Josh Allen is. We thought we would get a team that maybe, hopefully, would smother the other team's offenses while our offense, you know, matriculated its way up from 19 points on average a game to maybe 21, 22, which would put us in a position where we could win a whole lot of football games and make some noise in the playoffs. Because, after all, defenses win championships. Instead, what we're getting, unbeknownst to any one of us, is a defense that can't stop anything, hardly, and an offense that's averaging 31 or 32 points per game, and a Josh Allen that's literally en fuego. completely on fire, throwing the ball like he's out of his mind. I retweeted somebody who said, don't anybody ever tell me that Josh Allen is inaccurate again. And that's exactly right. Josh Allen is not. Listen to me. Josh Allen is not an inaccurate passer of the football. Yes, hero ball or like backyard football or you only live once, Josh Allen does show up, and he showed up in this football game on a play that he just should have just chucked it out of the back of the end zone or to the sideline, and we kicked the 3 points, and literally this game is over. Josh Allen is young bucking around and trying to do everything he can to stay on his feet and angry running it and trying to get the ball to some sort of a first down. I think he was looking for the end zone, to be honest. He was looking for Cole to break open. Cole did break open, albeit late. We're still getting a little bit of that play from Josh Allen. And you know what? The reality about Josh Allen is this. We're going to talk a lot about it in the second half of this show. The reality of Josh Allen is this. We live on his backyard football plays. We live on his extra effort plays. We live, as Kyle Brandt says, on the sugar high Josh Allen stuff. Josh Allen plays every single down like it's the last down of NFL football he's ever going to play. And we live and die by that, and we love it. We love it, Bills Mafia. You know we do. And there's the one occasional moments that we seem to be getting now once a game where it's, no, Josh, don't do that. There's no such thing as a perfect quarterback. I would tell you that there was probably a time when Brady and Peyton Manning were about as close as you could possibly get. But there's no such thing as a perfect quarterback. If you're going to take the good with the bad, you know what? Give me air raid Josh Allen all day long if I'm going to get that one bad play every game. Right? Give me air raid Josh Allen all day long if I'm going to get that one bad play. It frustrates the crap out of me. Don't get the wrong idea. Like, I sit on the couch just like you guys do, and I'm wanting to pull my hair out. Just throw the ball away. But it didn't hurt us this game, and it hasn't hurt us yet necessarily this year in the sense of, like, causing us a football game. It's exciting to watch. It's unbelievable. Strap in. Strap in, Bills Mafia. Strap in, fam. The Buffalo Bills are 4-0. They're here to stay. They're here to play. They're going to win a whole lot more football games than four. This is not a football team that's going to go 4-0 and then all of a sudden drop 9 of its next 10 games. That's not this football team. They've got character. They've got heart. They've got drive. They've got talent. They've got great coaching. They've got incredible culture. They've got accountability. This is going to be a fun year. The last three quarters of this year are going to be incredible. You are listening to the Overreaction Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills. I will see you guys in about 60 seconds. What's going on, everybody? This is Joe Miller, the voice of the Overreaction Podcast, and I want to take just a few seconds to talk to you about the Blend Buffalo. Whether you are a self-proclaimed fitness nut or simply love the nutrition a protein bar provides your body in a daily grab-it-and-go snack, I have to tell you that the Blend Bar is exactly what your body's craving. Made in-house by Grammatee with only 4 all-natural ingredients, these bars are chocked full of goodness. They don't have the excess chemicals and preservatives of a traditional store-bought bar, and believe me when I tell you, these bars are an absolute crowd favorite. Oh, and you want over the top? Check this out. Other than the chocolate chips, the Blend Bar is gluten-free and completely vegan. Pretty sweet, huh? So before you reach for that candy bar full of sugar and preservatives, give your body what it really wants, a Blend Bar from the Blend Buffalo. Go to the Blend Buffalo right now. Type in the promo code GOBILLS into your shopping cart and get 20% off of anything you order. Courtesy of the Overreaction Podcast. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back into the Overreaction Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. With the always guarantee that if you follow me on Twitter, I will not unfollow you unless you already know you tweet porn. You tweet porn, I'm out. you're going to get unfollowed, possibly blocked, at the very least muted. So, yeah, follow me on Twitter. It'd be awesome. Interact with me. Dude, I tweet crazy stuff just like you. I just tweet whatever comes to my mind. Like, I got in trouble for a couple tweets I made during this football game. It is what it is. So let's talk about something real quick that we need to discuss as it pertains to Buffalo Fanatics and the podcast network. For those of you that are listening to and are loyal listeners and fans and friends of the show, thank you so much for always being here. For those of you that are new to the Overreaction podcast, welcome. Super, super glad you're here. As I said at the top of the show, thank you for being here. Real quick, though, we're making a little bit of a change inside of Fanatics. And no, I'm not switching platforms, so don't get the wrong idea. But we're going to, right now, as you know, if you go to Buffalo Fanatics and you go to and you search Buffalo Fanatics inside of Spotify or iTunes or Google Play or whatever your favorite podcast browser is, podcast platform, you're going to get all of the shows. You're going to get all of the shows. You're going to get me on Monday. Well, actually, me on Sunday, me on Monday. You're going to get Bot on Tuesday. You're going to get Jay Spence on Wednesday. You're going to get the Basement Guys on Thursday. You're going to get Nap on Friday. And then you're going to get Buff City on Saturday. So you, when you subscribe to that RSS feed, you're going to get all of us. Well, we're making a change at Fanatics. So coming very soon, everybody's going to be moved to their own RSS feed, which basically means that Fanatics is still going to be my show is going to be brought to you by Buffalo Fanatics. I'm still going to be on the Buffalo Fanatics platform. The difference is you're going to be able to go and search Overreaction Sports Podcast and subscribe just to my show. And what that's going to do is it's going to allow Fanatics to grow and still be, or I should say, allow it to better differentiate between shows, between listens, and allow you, the listener, to select what it is you want to subscribe to, who you want to be connected to. So do me a favor right now. You're listening to me. You can do it on your phone or your laptop while this is going on. Go to Spotify or go to iTunes or Google Play, whatever your favorite player is. I already have my own RSS feed because my RSS feed existed before I went to Fanatics last December of 2019. Go to whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Type in Overreaction Sports Podcast and my show is going to come up. Do me a favor right now. Subscribe to it. And you know what? Not only subscribe to it, rate it if you can, but subscribe to it and rate it. And what's going to happen is we're going to begin making the transition. It's going to be slow. We're going to do it over several weeks. There's going to be a period of time where my show is actually going to be posted on Fanatics podcast RSS feed, and it's going to be posted on my RSS feed. But do me a favor, go to Overreaction Sports Podcast right now inside of whatever platform you listen to, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or what is there? There's Anchor, there's Podbean, there's, I don't even know, there's so many of them. But subscribe, type in search for Overreaction Sports Podcast, subscribe, rate it, all that good stuff. And then follow me everywhere I go. If you are new to the show, again, thank you. Do me a favor, rate it. It'd be great. And tweet me. I'd love to know how you found me. I'd love to know how you heard about me. All that good stuff. But yeah, let's be friends. Let's talk stats about this football game. Again, as you heard me say, and I know that it's the Overreaction podcast. Joe, you're supposed to be overreacting to everything. Look, I'm going to get into some stuff, right? So I'm going to just give me time. But the reality is this football game, as I told you earlier, got close. But let's be honest, it was never really in danger. The Bills went into Las Vegas. It was a business trip. And they went in there and they took care of business. Darren Waller had himself a day. Outside of that, Hunter Renfrow made a couple great catches. Josh Jacobs was widely kept in check. And obviously, Derek Carr had himself relatively decently enough of a day. But the three turnovers did them in. The Bills had, I think they had none, right? So we're talking about a football game that after the first quarter, stats, we're going to talk stats real quick. After the first quarter, the score was 7-3, right? Josh Allen completed that touchdown pass to Gabe Davis on that beautiful look-off throw in the back of the end zone, 7-3. And then at the end of the half, it was 17-13. And then it got kind of close. The third quarter bug-a-boo. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to take. I made a joke tweet. Hey, I've got this crazy idea. And, you know, all I could hear in my mind was Andrew McCarthy's voice from Weekend at Bernie's. You know, I've got an idea. It's going to sound funny. Right. But like my tweet was just basically, what if we just don't play the third quarter ever again? Like, what if we make an agreement with our opponent? Hey, we're going to play quarters 1, 2 and 4 and we're not going to play the third quarter because basically this team isn't playing the third quarter. So yeah, it got close after the third, 17-16, as the Bills, I don't want to say they let off the gas. I mean, it clearly wasn't that. It was just, man, what is it about this football team in the third quarter? I just don't get it. And then obviously the game ended 30-23. As we're talking about stats, the stat lines are as follows. Josh Allen was 24 of 34 for 288 yards, just shy of 300 yards. And the reality is towards the end of that fourth quarter, they were clearly looking to bleed the clock quite a bit, actually. He threw for touchdowns. He rushed for another, which was really nice. He only had three rushing yards, or minus one rushing yard on the day. My bad. Three attempts, minus one. You can see more and more that Josh Allen is becoming more of a pocket passer than he is a dual threat running quarterback. Now, he clearly has that card that he can play anytime he wants. But when he's beginning to separate himself from the Lamar Jacksons of the world, he's beginning to separate himself from the Deshaun Watsons of the world. He's beginning to separate himself from the young Kyler Murrays of the world. He's beginning to become a pocket passer who is in command of the game, in charge of the game. It's impressive to watch this kid grow up right before our eyes. Devin Singletary, 18 attempts, 55 yards. He had a touchdown. His long was 11. John Brown had a run, 1 for 14. Jones had 11. McKenzie, 2 for 11. Josh Allen, again, as I said, 3 attempts, minus 1. Andre Roberts had 1 attempt for minus 3 that they snuffed out. That was really early in the game. Receiving for the Buffalo Bills, Stephon Diggs had another big day. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 115 yards. This dude, if ever there was a marriage made in heaven, good Lord, if ever there was a marriage made in heaven, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs were meant for each other. Like, legit. These two dudes were meant to play football together. I don't know. I didn't watch a whole... You know, it's funny because there's... it's Mike Zimmer's ears is a guy that is a Vikings fan and he's a Bills fan. He literally just moved. He now lives in Jamestown. Somehow he's a Bills fan and a Vikings fan. I'm not exactly sure how. I don't watch the Vikings. Like, I know he does. And he's actually changed his Twitter handle since then. I don't have the history. I don't understand. I know that Diggs had success in Minnesota. I know that Diggs was a number one wide receiver in Minnesota. I don't for the life of me know why it didn't work out. I don't understand what it was about the chemistry between Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs that it just wasn't a situation where that they couldn't get them in a room together and do some team building activities and play cards or eat some donuts or play some video games and figure this crap out. I don't get it. But I'm thankful that it didn't work out because I'm not seeing what the league saw in Stephon Diggs. I'm not seeing the diva. I'm not seeing the crybaby. I'm not seeing the ball hog. And we're talking about a Vikings team that wasn't bad. I mean, they made the playoffs. But for the life of me, I don't understand. I don't understand what was going on there. I don't have an answer. Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you watch the Vikings more than I do, and you can tweet at me and tell me, like, you know, what the crux of the problem was between Kirk Cousins or that staff and Stephon Diggs. But I know that it went south midseason bad. And then clearly it was even worse towards the offseason when we made the trade for him. And thank God we did. It's unbelievable, the connection. All that to say, the connection between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs is real. Real. John Brown, 5 targets, 4 receptions for 42 yards. He had some great catches in that game. He also had a bad drop, but he had some great catches. You want to talk about some great catches? Cole Beasley. He had 3 catches for 32 yards, but every catch he made was, and he had a touchdown, spectacular. How's that for spectacular? Spectacular and clutch moments. You want to talk about a kid that was completely misused in Dallas. What in the world were they thinking? I get it. You've got Dez Bryant. You want to force the ball to Dez Bryant. You've got Amari Cooper. You want to force the ball to Amari Cooper. I get that you want to force the ball to your number one, and that's what Beasley said when he got here, that in Dallas it was very much known automatically where the quarterback was supposed to throw the ball to, and he wanted to come to a place where he was going to get an opportunity to contribute. And contribute he is. Contributing? Contributor? You know what I'm trying to say. It's incredible. Cole Beasley is the real deal. Gabe Davis, he had the one catch, the one look-off touchdown. If you get a chance, if there's a play you should watch over and over again, it's that play from Josh Allen, totally staring to his left. Comes back to the safety that had just entered the game, fourth-round rookie safety, who had completely left his assignment, Gabriel Davis. Josh Allen just flicks him the ball in the back of the end zone. Touchdown. This kid is going to be not only a star in this league, but he is going to be a major part of this football team for potentially a very long time. The rest of the stats aren't necessarily that great. Your touchdown scores of the day, Cole Beasley had a receiving touchdown. Gabe Davis had a receiving touchdown. Josh Allen, a rushing touchdown. Devin Singletary, a rushing touchdown. Singletary's receiving number is 5 of 21. Now, the Raiders, Derek Carr had himself a day. 32 of 44. Right around 75%, right? 32 of 44, 311 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have the 2 fumbles. The one was plucked out of his hands. Josh Jacobs was 15 attempts for 48 yards. That is pedestrian for Jacobs. The Bills put the hammer down on Jacobs. Had he not had that long run, that's 48 yards with a long of 16. You take that run away. You take that run away, we're talking about 32 yards rushing. He had 28 at the half, or he had like 23 yards at the half. The team had 28. Crazy. Derek Carr, 4 for 20. The dude could scoot. Like, he took off a couple times. Riddick, 2 for 13. Everybody else is kind of just not inconsequential. Darren Waller. You know, when I saw this Darren Waller kid on Hard Knocks, it was obvious he was going to be a baller. It was obvious. Dude, 12 targets, 9 receptions, 88 yards. Crazy. My God, I want Darren Waller on my football team, right? Hunter Renfro, like the little guy, the little engine that could, 5 receptions for 57 yards. Nelson Aguilar, 4 receptions, 44 with a touchdown. Zay Jones, once again, playing for the Buffalo Bills in that football game as he had a key drop. Well, it was tough. It was just off of his fingertips in Zay's defense, but by and large, you know, Zay came out with some fire. Clearly, he wanted to make a statement. And in that first quarter, he made a little bit of noise. He made a little bit of hay, but it didn't last. It didn't keep up. And then Jason Witten had that touchdown in the back of the end zone. I tweeted this, and it still baffles me. It's 2020. It's 2020. Football has been going on for a very long time. And for some reason, on the goal line, we still have linebackers who let tight ends run right by them. AJ Klein, I'm talking to you. And it's not just AJ. It happens all over the NFL. I just don't get it. You're on the goal line. Why would you let the tight end run by you? How are you so keyed in and focused on the running back that you don't give a crap about any receiver, tight end, or whatever, running into the end zone? It's baffling. Tell me it's not baffling. I know you're baffled. I'm baffled. Why does it happen? I want it to stop. But those are your stats for that football game. Final score, 30-23. The Buffalo Bills go into Las Vegas. Take care of the Raiders to move to 4-0 on the season after the first quarter of the season. Now, I just want to ad lib and kind of go freestyle a little bit off my notes. Is that okay? This defense, we'll start there because there's good and bad, right? The good, Josh Allen in the offense. The bad, the defense. Outside of Josh Norman, who was playing a very, very not great football game due to necessity because Levi Wallace got hurt early. And then I tweeted that because he made that one tackle, it was a great play. And he begins to talk in true Nate Clements fashion. He talks trash immediately. Like, great, Josh, you showed up for one play. It's the third or fourth quarter. You showed up for one play. And then just in time, he makes like 3 plays in a row that were like game changing plays. Josh Norman, it took him a couple quarters, but he found his way, right? So that's a positive from this defense. A positive from this defense was legit Josh Norman. Matt Milano. Apparently he comes out of this game with either a sprained or strained pectoral muscle, but that dude is a football player. Legit football player. He is just electric on this defense. But we're talking about, I mean, I want to get to the point that we're all thinking about, and I don't want to, this might be the football that we play this year. This might be the team that we see all season long. We might be headed for a very Seahawks-esque, outscore everybody we play, and we let up big plays. Do you realize, I'm sure you do, if you're on Twitter, you saw it, because a bunch of people said it. If you're not on Twitter, the Bills did not force a punt in the Rams game at all. The Bills did not force a punt in the Raiders game until late in the third quarter. And then they forced another one in the fourth quarter. The Bills are having a very, very difficult time stopping anything. And oh, by the way, they're not getting the turnovers that they potentially should be getting. And by that, I mean interceptions, you know, in the handfuls, or and that's due to the fact that there's no pressure being put on the quarterback. There is no pressure being put on the quarterback. Yes, I know what you're going to tell me, but Joe, they got a sack and they forced Carno a couple of fumbles. Yes, I'm aware of that, but I'm talking about from what we've seen or what we're used to seeing from this football team. This defense looks completely different. They just can't stop people. They need to find an answer. And not only do they need to find an answer, they need to find it quickly. Very, very quickly. Because at some point in time, they're going to run up against a juggernaut. They're going to run up against a team, the Chiefs, in 2 weeks, who have the ability to throw a 50-burger on them. But this is also not just a Buffalo Bills issue. This is a pretty common story around the entire NFL. NFL teams, I think there's only two decent defenses in the NFL right now. NFL teams are struggling mightily to play defense. It's literally, you're talking about a situation where if you're projecting into the playoffs or you're projecting into the Super Bowl, you're talking about a situation where it's like the first team that figures out how to play defense is probably going to come out on top. I have to give the leg up to the Buffalo Bills based on coaching, based on personnel, based on who they were last year. But the NFL is also quickly becoming a war of attrition. Guys are dropping like flies all over the field, left and right, everywhere. And that game this weekend against the Raiders was no different. But the hard part for me is, like, I used to love watching this defense. There was almost an aspect of, yeah, punt the ball because I want to watch the defense play. I know that sounds backwards. But think about it. This defense was incredible the last 2 years. Incredible. I mean, do they miss Star Lotulelei and Lorenzo Alexander that much? Do they miss Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson that much? I mean, Mario Addison is a good football player. AJ Klein, maybe not. Josh Norman, hopefully he's going to be electric for this defense. Hopefully we began to see a glimpse of who Josh Norman can become in this defense in that fourth quarter. Especially if most of the weight is being carried by Tre'Davious White and those safeties. However, Trey isn't exactly looking like the player from 2019 either. So I don't know if it's a situation where they need to settle in. I don't know if it's a situation where they're just over-pursuing. I don't know if it's a situation where they're just not sure what they're going to see game to game, because there really hasn't been a whole lot of plays put on tape by these offenses. But they need to find an answer, and they need to find it quickly. Quickly. Right? But the other side of that coin, when it comes to winning football games in completely not the way that we intended, I said to Jay Spence on the Humpty Hotline this past week that we are living in wildest dreams world with Josh Allen. Whether you want to say, I'm seeing things that I didn't think I'd ever see in my wildest dreams, or if literally you've had conversations with people or you've seen people on Twitter and you're like, I think Josh Allen can be good. I think he can be a great quarterback in this league. And then the person said, not in your wildest dreams. We are living in wildest dreams land with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, is the air express. Josh Allen is fire right now. Josh Allen is throwing darts and dimes all over the football game or all over the football field. He's literally, we're talking about an offense. What do we know about this offense right now? It's four games in. This offense wants to be a prolific, high-flying, pass-first offense, period. Have you seen something different from this offense? What happened in the Jets game? First series in the Jets game. Pass, 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 pass. Josh Allen run, pass, 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 pass. Josh Allen run, pass, pass, pass. The same thing happened in the Dolphins game. They came out on the Rams game. Pass, pass, pass. What did they do in the Raiders game yesterday? Pass, 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 pass. Run, run, pass, pass, pass. This team is basically convinced that they can beat anybody they're playing. They can beat anybody they're playing with the pass, with Josh Allen. We're seeing it again. We've talked about it on this show. And if you're new to the show, go back and listen to a couple of the other episodes. We've talked about it on the show that this team trusts their quarterback. These coaches trust their quarterback. The plays that they're giving him. Third and one, he drops back and he throws a deep ball to Stephon Diggs. You would not have seen that last year or the year before. Maybe not in the last 20 years. Josh Allen is also learning to throw the ball off of different weird platforms. Think of Aaron Rodgers. No, I'm not comping him to Aaron Rodgers yet. But if you go back to that Rams game and you watch it again, I watched it three times. There's some times when he changes his launch angle and he's throwing sidearm or he's trying to throw around guys. Very Pat Mahomes, very Aaron Rodgers-ish, esque, whatever. He's growing into a viable top five, if not top three quarterback in the NFL. He's putting this team on his back and carrying them to victories. He's getting to the point where last week I made fun of it that he's not Tom Brady and he didn't get the call that he wanted. This week, he got it. There was that very loose pass rush that the defender came in. I can't remember if it was number 99 or number 90. Hit him on the head and he got the intentional or the personal foul penalty. Unnecessary roughness on the quarterback. Now, there was the other time when he was outside the pocket and that was 99. Targeted his head. No flag. But you have a lot to be excited about, Bills fam. You have a lot to be excited about. This kid, we all know that there's a step back game coming. We know that there's a come to earth game coming. There's a game coming where Josh Allen is going to return to, like, or not return to, but he's going to fall off a little bit. He's on pace for 5,500 yards and 52 touchdowns. This is not a pace that he can necessarily probably keep. Is it impossible? No. Is it improbable? Yes. This game this weekend was not that game. He had a great game. He had one play where he got a little erratic. Little, you only live once-ish. A little crazy. A little backyard football. A little watch me beat everybody in the field. And then he got double teamed and taken down. He also got hurt in that football game. How nervous did you get when he got hurt, right? I don't want to talk about that. If anything happens to Josh Allen, the season is lost for the Buffalo Bills. The season is completely lost. But we got a lot to be excited about. We have a lot to be excited about. So this is what's up, Bills Mafia. If you don't know already, I am a part of a live YouTube show on the Buffalo Fanatics multicast network called The Hump Day Hotline. With your guy and my guy at J Spence the King. We go live every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock on YouTube, and you actually have the opportunity to interact with us and drive the show. Generally speaking, we've got about 300 to 400 people that join us for that live program on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm asking you to mark your calendar, do whatever you got to do, put an alarm on your phone, pay attention to Twitter, Facebook, whatever. But join us and be part of the conversation. It's just an awesome environment. It's a great place to be with Bills Mafia and just chat about the Buffalo Bills. On that show, it's called the Humpty Hotline. What we do is we literally go over the game that happened in the past weekend. We basically put it to bed, and then we preview the next game coming up. Obviously, the next game that we have coming up is the Titans game, and right now it's very, very on the fence as to whether or not that football game will even be played. What is it, 18 different members of the Titans organization have come down with COVID. I don't know how many of those are players versus personnel. So and they haven't even disclosed necessarily who has it and who doesn't. So that game is very much potentially in jeopardy at this point. If they do play it, I got to think that the Titans are going to be very much shorthanded is probably the best word. I mean, if you're talking about a guy like Derrick Henry having it or somebody like that, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney having, you know, having COVID, it puts the Bills in a very interesting position. But do me a favor, tune into the Humpty Hotline on Wednesday nights. Here's the very awesomely cool thing. If you have not heard already, Jay Spence lives in Arizona currently. I live in Buffalo. We're going to be doing a live tailgate pregame show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter October 15th at Magruder's in Depew. So at Magruder's in Depew, Jay Spence and myself are going to be doing the Hump Day Hotline live on the Buffalo Fanatics Network, multicast network. It starts at 6:30. It's going to go till 8 o'clock in the evening, and then we're going to stick around Magruder's, and we're going to watch the football game together. We're going to watch the Bills hopefully hang one up on the Chiefs. We'll see. They're going to have to do some work on that defense probably to shut them down. However, as Bills fans, we're always hopeful. So do me a favor, put that in your calendar. Put it in your calendar for Wednesday nights at 9. Put it in your calendar for October 15th at 6:30. Would just love to have you be a part of the Buffalo, the Bills Mafia, Buffalo Fanatics conversation with Jay Spence the King and myself. Okay, last thing I have for you for this show. I talk to you all the time about the Market Dominator. Here's the thing. This show does not exist without my sponsors. And some of you are getting ready to reach down and like either end it or fast forward. Don't yet. Don't do it because this show does not exist without the Blend Buffalo. This show does not exist without the Market Dominator. If you're into nutrition bars, do me a favor. Go to the Blend Buffalo. Buy something. Put in the shopping cart, the promo code, GOBILLS. Get 20% off. It's just that simple. Same thing with the Hump Day Hotline. If you're a guy and you love your wife, you know what? You should be manscaping. Go to Manscaped right now, manscaped.com. Buy something. Put in the promo code Fanatics. You get 20% off your order, free shipping. And here's the thing. If you're looking to buy a house, if you're looking to sell a house, if you've got real estate property you either need to acquire or you've got real estate property that you're looking to basically unload, you need to go to my guy, John Spaschek. John is the best in the business. He is going to sell your home for maximum value. He's also going to work you through the transition because it's a life transition going from one house to another. If you've never moved with your family, you probably don't realize it, but take it from me, somebody who has moved from one state to another, from one house to another. It's a big deal when you pack up your family and move. But do me a favor, get a hold of John Spaschek for me. You can reach John at on his cell phone, 716-570-3298. That's right. I just told you that you can reach him on his cell phone, and then I gave you his cell phone number, 716-570-3298. You can also email him at yourelitebroker@gmail.com, yourelitebroker@gmail.com. He's also a huge Buffalo Bills fan. He's a great dude. He works for Keller Williams. He's just awesome. And if you want to help yourself, look no further than John. Do me a favor. Tell him Joe from the Overreaction Podcast sent you. With that, fam, Buffalo Bills Mafia fam, I love you guys. And the Bills are 4-0. I don't know how many times. It just feels good to say that the Buffalo Bills are 4-0. Take this Monday. Take this Tuesday. Whatever day you're listening to this podcast, Wednesday, just put a smile on that face. Put a smile on that face knowing that the Buffalo Bills are a quarter of the way through the season, and we're undefeated in the first quarter. Good things on the horizon, Bills Mafia. We just got to get that defense fixed. And you know what? I trust McDermott and his staff to get it fixed. But good things on the horizon. As always, I love you guys. You've been listening to the Overreaction Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am the host of the show, the voice, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Joe Miller Wired. And as we always like to say, one Bills fan to another, go Bills.
At your job,
Do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.